Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartinwkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We love to hear what's on your mind. You can always know that you can call us right here at the studio, live on the air, 517-355-9527, to discuss anything that's on your mind. Also, want to know how you've been enjoying the show so far here on Current Sports. I encourage you all of our dedicated listeners out there, to let us know what you like, don't like, pose some conversations that you would like to hear on the show. And again, tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, facebook.com/currentsports, or email me at AlMartinWKAR.org. We want to hear how we can make the show better, and we would love your input. Well, what a week so far. We kicked off the week talking with Jennifer Smith from Michigan State's Office of Compliance as we discussed whether or not athletes should be allowed to tweet or Facebook post about whatever they want to. Now, we will continue that discussion tomorrow. And then yesterday, we shined some light on the Lansing Stealth minor league football team, inviting owner and general manager of the Stealth, Robert Huntoon, to join me on the show. He was great. And today, we continue the trend of inviting just outstanding guests. This gentleman coaches a group and is in charge of a group of players that may one day be seen wearing a Lansing Stealth football jersey, or possibly an NFL jersey for that matter, the Lansing Cowboys. That's right, the Lansing Cowboys. They are a youth football league in the Lansing area in which kids from the ages of 7 to 14 can participate in organized football. Now, they are a fully funded program and are sponsored, so everything is free to all that make the team. It's truly my pleasure to welcome team president Matthew Brown to Current Sports. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Al, for having me.
All right, so Matt, first off, how long has this team been around and when did it start?
Well, it started about 3 years ago. It actually, its infancy came from the Lansing Dolphins. And so I was just walking through on the football field and seeing the coach who needed a little help. And I said, hey, maybe I can help out on your defensive line here in your backfield. And he said, show up on Monday. And lo and behold, I was thinking maybe it was just to be a 1 or 2 day event.
Right.
And it turned into what we see today as the Lansing Cowboys. So he threw a whistle on me and we haven't looked back since then.
Wow, and the coach of the Lansing Cowboys, Deion Hollis, he's been the coach ever since that three-year span, right?
Yep, Deion has been there ever since. Matter of fact, as soon as they threw me the whistle, I threw him a whistle. Deion's my nephew, and he loves kids and has a passion for helping kids succeed.
That is great. Now, Matthew, when you talk about your involvement with the game of football, when did your interest start when it comes to football, just the game of football?
Oh, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, actually.
Oh, me too. Look at it. We're connected right here.
I know.
I am a huge Cowboys fan.
I mean, back to Staubach, you know, Tony Dorsett, Herschel Walker.
Smith,
oh, man. I mean, it goes on and on. So I'm a Cowboys fan and not a fair-weather Cowboys fan. So my love for the game was there ever since. My mom says I was 5 years old telling the older guys at the table who was playing on the field.
That is great. So it stems way back.
Absolutely.
Now, when you talk about your incredible mentorship that you got, you guys, first of all, you guys are doing an incredible job with these kids over at for the Lansing Cowboys. When did your passion for mentorship for these kids begin?
Well, you know, I've always had a passion for mentorship for children. I think it was important for me once I seen the need. I really, you know, sometimes you take a microcosmic look at something and you look at it and say, wow, there needs to be some more additional assistance here. And so I felt the need to actually get more involved. I seen children that they were, you know, single parent families, a father that was not in existence at all. And there was a need to fill that hole. So, you know, that's when the Lansing Cowboys, I said, you know, we have to do something. We just can't stand by and not do anything. And then plus, at the time when we started the program, it was the downturn in the economy.
Right.
So a lot of parents couldn't afford to pay for shoulder pads, put helmets on their kids, but they wanted them to be active. So that's we supplied that. We filled that need.
Now, I think that's a very cool and unique thing about this specific youth program is that, I mean, for those who do make the team, they have to pay for nothing because you guys are fully sponsored. How did you guys pull that off?
Well, I'd like to say that it was a miracle. It really wasn't. I actually am an insurance agent by trade.
Okay.
So I went to my company and said, hey, look, we need to do something. And it's a firm made up of a whole bunch of great guys. And so they actually all bought into it and said, hey, this is something we want to do. And so we actually were the initial sponsors of the team. We actually front-loaded the whole program to make it free for everybody.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So the insurance is this the same insurance firm that sponsors them year after year too?
Yeah. Insurance Market Advisors, they sponsor them. Yeah.
That is great. That is really cool. And I think that's what really is so unique when you look at your program compared to other youth programs. Now, Matt, for you. What is the interest for the Lansing community been like for these past 3 years? I mean, we were talking before you hit the air. It's something like 200 kids on average show up every single tryout each year?
Oh, yeah. We'll probably have 200, maybe hopefully 300 this year. Hopefully we'll beat our record number from last year.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have this great interest in it. And you can understand that a lot of times when kids get into programs and their parents can afford it, they go back to the same program.
Right.
We're a program that allows people to come in and there's no risk involved.
Right. None at all.
The only thing that can happen is your child's put in better shape when they come out of the program. It's the worst thing that could happen.
That's the worst. That's great. That's a pretty nice risk reward right
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we think our program gives parents the ability to say, you know what? I may not pay for it, but you know what? I'm going to let them try it.
Right.
Or her try it because we have cheerleaders too as well.
Right. Now, I mean, you guys have about 200 and you're hoping to break that record. July 22nd is when parents can start bringing their kids out. Is that just a one-day thing? Are there two dates they can come out to? Or
that's our tryout. That's the start of our training camp.
Gotcha.
That's the youth football's training camp. So we have to put in those hours of conditioning. So we start. And then at some point between the first and second week, we don't call them cuts because even kids that come to our program that try, we give them a minimum scholarship to go to another program to play. At least takes care of their entry fee at the other program.
Wow.
So they still have a level that they can still play somewhat for free.
So, Matt, I mean, you have all these kids come out, about 200 come out. How many make the team?
Every year we're saying we're only going to keep 80. But we end up
so out of 280 are going to walk out. Around 80 are going to walk around with a Lansing Cowboy helmet.
Yeah, our roster can go up to 110. So, although the coaches say let's keep it at 80 this year, my heart says no. It has to be 110. So last year we had 110 on our roster.
Right, right. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Matthew Brown, and he is the president of the Lansing Cowboys, an area youth football league that are doing some amazing things in the area. Now, just going back to the football aspect of this, Matt, what makes football, in your eyes, such a great teacher of not only just sports, but life?
Because it teaches you have to work within rules. You have rules that govern you. And you have to work as a team. So, and that goes to work in business. Whenever you work with your colleagues, you may not like the person that sits next to you, but you have to accomplish, you have to be on the same page accomplishing the same goal. And that, I want to teach those kids that, because that's important for them. If they want to succeed in life, they have to understand they have to play by the rules. Then they also have to be a team player. And so with those disciplines, it really helps them even focus in school, because you can't disrupt the whole class and then expect everyone else to be happy with you.
Right.
So you have to be a team player, which means you have to pay attention in class, and then everyone else is happy, and you're able to get a good education.
Right. That is great. Now, when you talk about the academic side of that with the education, as you just mentioned, what are some things that, so when they're going through this youth football league, do you guys have certain sessions that kind of hone their skills academically as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a step process into a program. So we had to step into that. Being a new program, we couldn't come in and say, hey, look, academically, that has to be the first and primary foremost item. No, we had to show them we had a culture of winning.
Right.
But then as a secondary piece, we had to show them the academics plays a part. And so sometimes you have to bait children to really want to be a part of something, and then you really get them where you really want them, and that is academically. We make sure they have a level of excellence that they need to have to succeed in life.
That is great. So talk about some of the success stories of a kid who came in and was kind of lost, but through your program was able to get back on the right track or keep on the right track if they already were.
Okay, I will tell you about a kid. It warms my heart. He wasn't the best football player. Mm-hmm. I won't call to him by name,
right,
not to embarrass him. But this kid showed a lot of character. Mm-hmm. So on the field, I'll often have responsibilities the kids will have to do to get an allowance. So I'll pick three or four kids, and I'll have them pick up the field, pick up the paper trash, and I'll give them $5 on Friday.
Right.
So this one gentleman actually every Friday would come for his allowance.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, man, I like this kid. I want to keep him. He wasn't the best football player. So they say, we're going to keep him on a roster. I said, we're going to keep him on a roster. Mm-hmm. So we went through halfway through the season. It started to get the cold time of year. And he would ride his bike to practice. And uh-huh. So one day it was looking like it was going to rain. I'm like, he can't ride that bike home. I said, son, where are you riding the bike to? And he said, I'm riding it to the bus stop. He was riding it to the bus stop, going to a transfer station. Then he was going all the way home. He used his allowance every week to pay for his bus fare because he loved the game of football.
Wow.
Now, after we found that out, we, of course, start picking him up and dropping him off. But that shows the character, the type of passion that displays what a cowboy's all about. And that is, if you love something so much that it makes you say, I'm willing to work for it, that's what a cowboy's all about.
That is such an inspirational story and message. So this kid who was riding his bike riding his bike to the bus, and then hopping on the bus all the way home. He was using that allowance every Friday that you would give the kids to go out there and practice and play, and using it for the bus fare.
His bus fare.
Unbelievable. So what eventually happened to this kid? Where is he at now? What year was that? Was that last year?
That was last year.
That was last year. How is he doing now?
He's doing great. He was at our awards banquet, and I honored him in front of everybody. Not because he was the best football player, but right. He was the best cowboy. And so right. he's doing great, doing good in school, and we look forward to seeing his smiling face the first day of practice.
And that's July 22nd for tryouts.
July 22nd from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Wow, that is great. Now, let's just looking at youth football and football in general for a second, Matthew. Again, we're talking with Matthew Brown. He is the president of the Lansing Cowboys, a local area youth football league. Again, July 22nd, you can bring your kids out ages 7 to 14 if you want your kid to be a part of this unbelievable, inspirational program. Now, there's been a lot of talk about concussions,
yes.
Matt, and there are many parents out there listening who, due to new research on the long-term health effects of concussions, mm-hmm. that simply don't want their son playing football. When you hear this, and I'm of course you mm-hmm. being in your position and with the youth football league that you're a part of, you've probably heard this chatter. How do you respond to that?
Oh, being a father of 7, that, you know, boy, that's a big one, right?
Right.
Because the biggest impact you can have on a child's life is at its youngest stage. And so we make sure that all of our equipment is up to date. Mm-hmm. That's why I like having the free program, because you can control your inventory.
Right.
So I don't have a kid whose parent throws a used helmet on him that's 12 years old and has not been certified trying to get on the football field.
Right.
So we make sure that It's within the time frames it needs to be. It's safe and it's functional. Now, as far as concussions, we're very sensitive to concussions because every child, no one wants to get taken out of the game. So it takes a good coach, and we have some great coaches, to really look at the player. And we have simple drills that we do that the NFL employs to really make sure that they're not, or even if we feel that they might have had a slight concussion, we remove them from the game and we make them report back after they've had a neurological check.
Gotcha.
So we take it serious because the last thing I want to do is see a child that grows up later and now is in adulthood, see them and they've had issues from something that I was not as passionate about pursuing.
Right.
So we want to make sure we guard that.
Exactly. So for you guys, Matt, when you talk about the youth football league and they're out there playing and during a game and a certain hit happens above the head, what are the steps and procedures that goes on once a kid looks like he may have a concussion or symptoms of it? What do you guys check for? What do you guys go through during that time?
Well, of course you can't do all the NFL checks because you have to have a developed brain to actually be able to do those. So
yeah.
We do some simple things. We ask him to count for us, count backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We pull him from the game, first of all. Count forward, count backwards, and then have them tell us something about yesterday. Tell us something about yesterday. Because usually that immediate brain, the loss, the memory loss in the brain, that shows up right away. They usually can't remember. They're hazy or fuzzy.
Right.
And then if we see any indication or feel that it's any remote possibility that they have a concussion, we pull them from the game and we tell their parents they need to come back with a slip from a doctor that says that neurologically they're cleared to play.
And have you dealt with a kid who that's happened in a game before and
yes.
has had a concussion?
I had it happen in practice.
In practice, wow. Wow.
Noticed it in practice and I said, I will not put him on the field until you have it cleared.
And they had it cleared,
yes,
and I'm assuming
absolutely.
It was okay.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But there again, I still felt, even though the physician cleared, and I'm not a physician, I still felt this year, even after the haziness he experienced, I felt he should have been pulled from the game completely. So I limited his exposure on the field this year.
Which is the right thing to do.
Right. Even though his parents said, my dad had to have a doctor slip, and he's been cleared. I still felt, I know my players. I didn't feel he was there yet. So I put him on the side of the ball where he would have the least amount of interaction from a head standpoint.
Now, Matthew, there's growing research about concussions, and the NCAA is making changes as to how their procedure in changing the way they deal with players who are out there that possibly may have a concussion.
Yes.
When you look now, you're a father of seven, as you just said,
mm-hmm.
and you look at this area of football that is growing and becoming such an alarming problem, if you will.
Yeah.
Would you allow your kids to go out there and play football? I'm assuming so because you are the president of a youth football league. But in what ways can the game become better in managing this?
Well, if you're talking about the game from a professional level,
mm-hmm.
I think that whenever you get commerce involved, we tend to, as humans, overlook the humanity piece. And so I think we have to have the ability to have absence of commerce in the decision-making. And even you can look at the quarterback for the Washington Redskins. There's
yeah.
quite a debate about that.
RG3.
About his injury,
yeah.
Who really cleared it. And so I think once you have the absence of commerce in the decision-making and the physician can really, he is really completely the one in charge, I think you'll see a restoration of health first, playing a game later.
That's great. Now, I know during some more research on this that a lot of youth football leagues, even in high school as well, are adopting new changes in teaching, trying to teach kids how to tackle.
Yes.
Are you guys adopting that, and how is that process like? So what are you guys teaching these kids growing up to try to limit the amount of concussions in a football game?
Absolutely. you just can't throw a child out there and just have them tackle. I mean,
right?
Because they really now become a weapon. So a weapon not used appropriately can be a very dangerous weapon.
Right.
And so what we really look at is how is it? Are they trying to spirit attack? Are they using going in head first? Are they going in with their shoulders? Are they trying to tackle at the waist? Or are they trying to tackle at the head? And so those are some simple things we try to identify at a youth level to try to correct. Because really, if the game is corrected at the youth level, injuries will be avoided for a very long period of time.
Right.
So teaching the correct way to tackle is the very essence of avoiding injury.
And for those out there, I mean, just list how specifically, how should kids be tackling out there?
See, I'm a firm believer that a child should never tackle above the waist.
Never above the waist.
Never
above Always the waist. Going for the legs then.
Always going for the legs or the hip.
Right.
Because so many injuries come out of tackling too high.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get a kid who comes into the face mask area, can pull the face mask. You can have neck injuries. You can have a lot of injuries that come out of it. So always teach my kids is very simple. If you got the waist, you get the knees, you get the legs, you've taken down the giant, right?
There you go.
You don't need, there's no, ESPN's not out here. So you don't need to make any sports reels. You
know,
really, it's bringing the guy down. That's the most important thing.
Right. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Matthew Brown. He is the team president of the Lansing Cowboys, a unbelievable youth football program in the Lansing area. Now, Matthew, let's go back to the mentorship for these kids again. Yeah. And I would love to have, we talked about this before the show started, I would love to have one of your kids come on here because I'm all about promoting just sports in general from that level and just to see where their passion, that grows dreams. Those kind of things grow dreams. And that's when they start at the youth level. I mean, how encouraging is it? Because a lot of these kids come from rattled backgrounds.
Yes, they do.
And you guys serve as mentors and even father figures for them. I mean, how humbling is that aspect of your job?
Oh, you know what I say? I could use a little extra money I get a month to get a cottage, and maybe get a nicer car. But man, what's the best value for that dollar is putting it into a child. I mean, the returns on that beats Wall Street any day of the week. It's not hard to beat Wall Street now. But, I mean, but it is, the reward is great to have a kid come up to you in a grocery store. And a lot of times, you know, I try to remember all these faces, but when you have 100 faces, you have to remember, and you multiply that by 3 years. I mean, you can lose some faces, but to have them come up to me and say, "Hey, coach, how you doing?" I mean, that's the best thing, the best feeling ever, and to know that they're actually on a path to succeed and be a contributing member to society is the biggest piece.
That is great. Yeah. That is great. Now, for you as team president, and I always ask people this when they're involved in anything such as an inspirational program as yours, what is your goal, personal goal for this program?
My personal goal is, you know, I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and I want to put that in my children. I don't want them to look at an NBA or an NFL contract as a pinnacle. I want them to look at being the owner of the franchise as a pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
And so my goal is to help them to realize that although sports may be a bridge to a new way, it is not the highway I want you to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so use it to get to a different island. And so academically, if you want to be a physician, if you want to be an accountant, if you want to be a lawyer, you know, whatever you want to be, whatever your passion is, follow your passion and their success will follow.
That is great. Now, you have 7 kids. What are their dreams? What do they want to do? What are they doing now?
you know, my kids are all over the spectrum.
As always, kids are.
Yeah, right. So my oldest one, she'll be 18 in December. And, you know, I teach my kids, you got to find your way. Before you state your passion, really know what it is you want as a primary purpose in life. So, you know, I've never taught my kids. Matter of fact, one time my kids went over to a, one of my kids went over to a wishing well and flicked a coin, tried to flick a coin in the wishing well. And I said, why are you doing that? So, because success comes to people who work for it. So it's not a fluke.
Right.
It's actually a byproduct of your hard work.
That is great. I'm getting inspired just talking with you, man. Yeah. You are truly an inspiring individual. So, all right, back to the Lansing Cowboys. Again, what are you guys doing right now? You have tryouts coming up. How long is the season? When does the season end? Just to give you know, kids and parents out there a time perspective of how long the season lasts.
Season starts, I think it's August 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And the season ends sometime in October. Now, right. Barring weather, because, you know, you can have a week that's postponed, because if there's lightning out, then they will postpone the games for that day. So, you know, it could be pushed back. But usually sometime in October is when we end the season.
Gotcha.
And so we have a great championship. And, you know, the best thing about it, when I was growing up, you know, you had Kappa Express, you had all these youth football program, and everybody who was older wanted to play varsity football.
Right.
Sad to say, though, we're losing kids. You know, the parental support is there when they're smaller, when they're the bobbleheads.
Right.
But as they get older, it wanes off. And my passion, my mission is to restore youth football at a varsity level to the point where it should be, where it was. Have them one day play on a Sunday or a Friday under the lights at some facility locally around town. I think they deserve that.
That is great. That is really an inspirational message. Now, when you talk about these games, Matthew, that you guys have had over the past 3 years, how is the attendance at these games?
Oh, our attendance is great.
I got to come to one, man.
You have to come to one now. our attendance is great. We have some of the best parents out of mid-Michigan, and they do a great job supporting us. And we welcome everybody to come out because it's great. Usually we have it at Gardner. And it's packed there. A lot of people don't know. It's a mecca of football. It's great football.
Right. I'm sure it is. I'm sure you would definitely see my face at a few of them. And I would love to do a piece on you guys and to invite some kids to come through. And as well, what teams do you guys play? And how does the schedule work out as far as youth football leagues? Do you guys play teams in Detroit? I mean, how does that work?
Well, we have some. You know, our league locally that we're part of is called the Mid-Michigan Youth Football League. And you have Kappa Express, you have the Mustangs, you have the Warriors, you have the Saints, you have a variety of other teams too as well,
right.
New Life Lions. So we have a lot of teams that we play, and we have some great rivalries. You know, our greatest rivalry, ironically, being a Cowboy fan, is against the Warriors.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, we loved it. We love Warrior Week. So we look forward to that.
That is very – now, before I let you go, this team is named the Lansing Cowboys, and I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan myself. Mm-hmm. We just went through that.
Yeah.
When you look at the history of the Dallas Cowboys being America's team and the countless greats that have played for that story franchise in the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah.
Matt, who is your favorite Cowboy? Who do you think is the greatest Cowboy of all time? And why?
Wow. I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to shock you, because he never won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Danny White.
Danny White, really?
Danny White probably had the most humility out of any player I've ever seen play the game.
Wow.
He never got the recognition he deserved, and he always played with a sense of humility and meekness that I thought other professional athletes should play with. And if you look back on the ESPN reels, you won't see a picture of Danny White. But the only thing you'll see is, you know, San Francisco beating him in the championship game, Dwight Clark, which my heart just, you know, fell to the ground when he caught that ball. You would have known Danny White. But Danny White really is, in my eyes, the best Cowboy because of his character.
And Danny White, he was a quarterback and a punter.
Can you imagine that? Danny White was a punter,
A punter. I have to give credit to my engineer, Aaron Young. He just pulled that up and gave me that information just now. A quarterback and a punter.
You got to love that, man. I mean, two for one. Every franchise owner would love to have a two for one nowadays.
Yeah, very, very true. Right. All right, last question. Before I let you go, Matthew, if parents bring their kid out and allow their kid to play for and become a Lansing Cowboy, what is the definition of a cowboy, and what will that kid leave with that they didn't have before coming into that program?
One is respect for their parents. I really emphasize, you must respect your parent. If you cannot respect the mom that gave you life, you can't respect me, you can't respect a teacher, you can't respect anybody. So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. When I see a kid that doesn't, talking back to their mom, he does extra laps, push-ups, up-downs, they're doing it.
All of that, yeah.
So really the essence is first to love yourself, love your family, and love your neighbor. And that's what we encapsulate, and that's what will leave that field as a Lansing Cowboy football player.
There you have it. Lansing Cowboy Youth Football League team president, Matthew Brown. Man, you're so great. I got to have you on in the future. Would you like that?
Oh, man. Anytime, Al.
That is great. That is great. Matthew Brown, thanks so much for coming on Current Sports.
Okay, thank you for having me, Al.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have another spectacular guest. We're just getting warmed up here on Current Sports. Stick with us. George Blaha will be on the phone with me live here on the show. You do not want to miss that. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, Georgia Congressman and civil rights leader John Lewis on the future of the Voting Rights Act. He's got a message for his colleagues who think it's no longer necessary.
Come and walk in my shoes. Come and go with me to the Delta, Mississippi. Stand and see the loan lines in Ohio.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Who has Teague with him in the shotgun? Tosses to Teague, trying to turn the right corner. Jason on his feet. Inside the five. He's into the end zone. He high strides for six for the Spartans. 19 yards for a touchdown, folks. And the Spartans celebrate in South Bend.
Now, the heat's on young Dan Conroy. In overtime, fourth down and 14. The ball placed down at the 36-yard line, right hash mark. Aaron Bates will hold. Alex Shackleton will snap. Dan Conroy with the biggest kick of his life. Oh, they'll fake it. Bates throws it.
He's got him.
Yeah, wide open. He's got Charlie Gant inside the 10. He can walk in. Spartans win. Touchdown, MSU.
Hey,
good people. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and we now invite a guest who is a legend in the world of sports broadcasting. He is one of the most recognizable sports personalities in Detroit and the NBA. He will begin his 38th consecutive season as the Detroit Pistons television play-by-play voice, and alongside, of course, Greg Special K. Kelser. He is also the play-by-play voice for the Michigan State football team, and I can go on and on about his countless accolades. He was the recipient of the Ty Tyson Award for Excellence in Sports Broadcasting, which is awarded by the Detroit Sports Broadcasters Association. And in 2008, he was elected to the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame and inducted in 2010. It's my pleasure to welcome a man who I look up to so much, George Blaha. Welcome to Current Sports.
Man, oh man, what a nice buildup. You read that almost exactly as I wrote it.
Yeah, you wrote it pretty well. Thanks a lot for emailing me that script, George. Appreciate it, man. How you doing?
I'm great, Al. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. Cannot complain. Now, George, we're going to take this thing way back. Now, when did you know that you wanted to be a broadcaster?
Oh, I was a young kid. We play ball all day, whether it was baseball, football, or basketball. And then I'd listen to games on the radio at night and say, could that ever be me? If it could be, it'd be a dream come true. And, you know, the more I listened, the more I liked the idea, and the more I locked onto it. And I think if that's your – whatever your dream is, you should follow it. And I was fortunate enough that it worked out for me.
That is great, George. So you knew – very early that you wanted to be a broadcaster. You didn't ever think about going pro in any sport. You knew that you wanted to go right into broadcasting it?
Well, if you're good enough to play a sport, that might be different. But
true. Very true.
But, no, I honestly, from a very young age, thought it would be a wonderful way to spend my life. And I think I felt then, and I still feel now, that if you are a broadcaster and you care about the fans and you care about the teams and the players, you can bring a little enjoyment into people's lives who spend their time, most of their days, working hard just trying to make a living. And when they sit back to listen to the games, if you can entertain them, you're doing a good thing.
That is so, so true. Such a great message. Now, George, you announced your very first Pistons game on October 23rd, 1976. Talk about that moment, and were the nerves kind of flowing at that point?
Were they ever. the first game I broadcast was the Washington Bullets. Mm-hmm. They changed the name years later to the Wizards. And the Detroit Pistons at Cobo Hall in Detroit. And the two gentlemen who came out for the opening tip were both future Hall of Famers, and mm-hmm. huge, mega men, Wes Unseld for the Bullets.
Wow.
And a guy who's become a great friend of mine and one of the all-time great human beings and players, and fellow Hall of Famer Bob Lanier for the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, maybe I better buckle my seatbelt here. This is this is where the men play.
Right.
And it was an exciting night. In fact, it was so exciting. I lived in Okemos then, and when I got my car to drive home, I ended up in Grosse Pointe.
Did you?
So I had to, turn around and head back to Okemos. I finally got my head on straight.
Right.
And started thinking about the task at hand.
Wow.
And that was getting home.
Right, right. Your mind was just everywhere at that point.
Right, it was gone.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with truly a sports broadcasting legend, George Blaha. He is play-by-play voice for the Detroit Pistons and also the Michigan State football team. Now, George, you've worked with many color analysts throughout your time. Now, I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit here, I can go through a little list right here, including former Detroit Pistons players such as Dave Bing, John Mengelt, Vinny Johnson, Kelly Trepuka, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, and, of course, current partner, Greg? I hope Greg, depending on how you answer this, I hope Greg isn't listening right now, but who is the best you've ever worked with when you talk about a color analyst working with you?
Well, I don't think you could ever argue with Gregory Kelser.
Gotcha.
Because he's so prepared, he's such a gentleman, and he wants to do a good job, but he wants to make sure he helps you do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person that he is. I tell you, I've never worked in the booth with anybody that I didn't truly enjoy in the NBA. I've also worked with Hubie Brown, Mike Fratello, John McLeod, mm-hmm. the late, great Dick Carter, Ron Rothstein. I know I'm forgetting. Oh, Kevin Lockery.
Kevin Lockery, yep.
Murph was awesome. And Dave Bing mm-hmm. and all the Pistons that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them, including David and Vinnie Johnson and Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer, are friends of mine. But Gregory and Donna just stopped by our place up north about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're close, and it's been fun working with them, I'll tell you that.
Definitely. Now, you chose Gregory out of that list. Now, you and Greg, now, speaking on my behalf, George, I've been listening to you guys since I was, goodness, 4 or 5 years old. I'm a huge Piston fan, and seeing you and Greg do your thing, I mean, it's something that's a part of my childhood and will always be. I mean, just to be a part of individuals' lives in that area that you are as being a broadcaster for the Pistons, I mean, how humbling and special is that for you when you think about that?
Well, it is humbling, and it's an honor for somebody like you to say that we've been there with you that long.
Yeah.
And I hope that I hope it's been a good thing, and I hope it's entertains you and made your days a little brighter, but we certainly are privileged to be part of people's lives.
Without a doubt, it's certainly something I will never forget and continue. I mean, you guys are still doing it. I mean, goodness. Now, you and Greg, George, when you guys first started out, I mean, if you turn to Fox Sports Detroit and look at you guys, there is undeniable chemistry there. How does that chemistry develop between two individuals broadcasting the game over time? What was it like when you first met Greg and first started broadcasting with him?
Well, you know what? We go back long before we ever called a game together.
Mm-hmm.
In my early years broadcasting, I just started with the Pistons a few years before that, Gregory came to Michigan State to obviously play for the Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a close friend, still am, of Gus Kanakis, who recruited him to Michigan State, who started him on his road to stardom. Then they changed coaches to Judd Heathcote, who's also a heck of a guy and a heck of a coach. But I got to know Gregory through Gus when he was at MSU.
Right.
And we were friends back then, or at least guys who knew each other and liked each other. And then through his time as a Detroit Piston, don't forget,
right,
he was a top five pick in the draft and started his career with the Pistons.
Yep.
Before he was traded to Seattle. So I knew Gregory then. When he first started getting into broadcasting, mm-hmm. I was doing about half radio and half TV,
mm-hmm.
and he joined me on the radio.
Oh, wow.
So we go back a long way, let's put it that way.
Definitely.
And I tell you what, people probably, those who know. Mm-hmm. But don't ever forget what a great player Gregory Kelser was for the green and white.
Definitely, definitely.
He was off the charts in that the game no one will ever forget, the win over Indiana State and Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Special K, I wish I had his numbers in front of me, but he came very, very close to a triple-double in the most famous college basketball game probably ever played.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, of course, Gregory's name is hanging above the rafters over at Breslin Center. He is truly a legend. It's just unfortunate that he got injured once he hit the league, but he was something else to see, George.
Well, he sure was. And when you talk about guys who can get up,
yeah,
he could fly.
Yes, he could. Now, George, I'm going to put you on the hot seat again. Now, you've had the opportunity to cover many, many Piston greats. who was the best Piston you've ever covered?
Well, I think most people would give you the same answer. Mm-hmm. And there are four or five guys who you have to choose from. And it probably comes down to three or four that you had to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
But Isaiah Lord Thomas III would be number one. And I don't think I'd get too many arguments anywhere about that.
No, not at all. Now, you also had the opportunity to witness the Piston-Bulls rivalry of the 80s, which was so epic. And you got to see who many consider the greatest basketball player of all time. Was MJ the best you ever seen, George?
He's probably tied for the best.
Gotcha.
I mean, I don't think I would. I'm one of those who says, you know, first of all, Isaiah Thomas was called by Julius Erving maybe the best player inch for inch, pound for pound, who ever played.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd have been, Chuck Daly said, if he'd have been 6'7", 6'8", he'd have been the all-time greatest. So, you know, for pound for pound and inch for inch, it'd be hard to argue with Isaiah. But in that era, which I believe was the greatest era the NBA has ever had or probably will ever have.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Yep.
The guys who jump out at me are Magic Johnson and Larry Bird,
mm-hmm.
Along with Isaiah and Dr. J and a few others. But I think this, as I look back at NBA history, pro basketball history, Julius Erving may have saved pro basketball.
Yeah.
It had an image that it probably didn't deserve, but nevertheless, it had it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Slightly overpaid, out-of-control guys, you know, too many drug issues, too many issues that people didn't really want to be part of their life and into their living room, even though they had loved Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain's titanic struggles. Those were now in the rearview mirror.
Right.
And Julius Erving, when people got to know him, they realized this is one classy guy. And they could take off their blinders and understand that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. If you got class and you do things the right way, you are worthy of their attention and their adulation. So Doc does that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, so the league survives. And along come Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Now, they bring the game to a whole nother level into everybody's living room, and they were such great players and bigger than life, and had such a terrific rivalry. And then Michael Jordan comes along and puts the game in the spotlight up on the marquee somewhere. So that's how I see the history of the league. That doesn't mean that all of those guys weren't about equal. Because I tell you what, if you saw Magic play, and I know you did, throughout his career, I mean, he was incredible, as was Larry Bird. I mean, was there ever a better guy to make a clutch shot than Larry Bird?
Oh, no. Larry was, I mean, Larry Legend. They called him the legend for the reason. He was unbelievable, him and Magic. Unbelievable.
Who could make a play better than Magic? And who could make a play for his size better than Isaiah?
Right.
So there are a handful of guys there, and Michael could do so many things, and Michael got better and better and learned how to dominate mentally just like those other guys did as he got older. But I will say this, they changed some of the rules to accommodate MJ,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably not a dumb thing.
Very true, very true. From a financial standpoint, oh, without a doubt.
David Stern said, we got this guy, we can't let the Pistons keep knocking him down.
Very true. Very true.
We got to clean this rough stuff up a little bit.
Right, right. And
so
you can go back.
This guy can fly, you know, like no one else ever has. But there were probably, you know, when you look back at the other guys who could fly and did get knocked down, like Dr. J,
mm-hmm.
they didn't get quite as protected as MJ did. And in today's game, they have cleaned up the rough stuff almost, I believe, more than they should have. And now you try and guard LeBron James without being able to put your hand on him.
Exactly. It's such a – and that's one thing I when we first started to show a few weeks back and talking about the NBA Finals, I mean, the game really, George, has become really – it's really touchy-touchy. You know what I mean? If you like you said, if you touch LeBron James, if you even graze the guy, it's a foul. Back in the 80s, I mean, you could knock somebody down. It made it very entertaining. And in my opinion, more competitive. And I think the competitiveness has really been hurt because of that aspect of the game.
And you know what? That will happen to college basketball. They're talking about it, and I believe they're going to make that change. Mm-hmm. I guess there are some changes coming up in the college game right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because it used to, and it still is, more physical in the NBA because the guys are bigger. They can do more things.
Right.
You know, they're grown men. But in college, you can do more. You can be more physical in college right now than you can be in the NBA and get away with it. But that's going to change.
That is, yeah, that's
which
true.
Which is, in a way, a shame. Gary Payton said recently, who's one of the all-time great guards and a very physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him about, is LeBron James the best player? He said, I don't know about that. He said, you know, back in our time, you could hand check the guy. He had a chance.
Right.
And he said, and if you got by you, a guy like Bill Laimbeer, knock him down.
Right, exactly. Those days are gone.
I don't mean to say, hey, the good old days were better than these days, but, you know, you just got to understand what was going on then and what's going on now.
That is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with broadcasting legend George Blaha. He's the famous voice of the Pistons for years, also voice of the Michigan State football team. Now, George, before I let you go, I want to dig into next year's Detroit Pistons team real quick. Now, they drafted Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with the 8th pick in this year's NBA draft, passing up on Michigan point guard Trey Burke, who, of course, in many of the area were kind of disappointed about that, him being a Michigan kid. Now, do you think this was the right move?
Well, he's not a Michigan kid. He's a University of Michigan kid.
Oh, excuse me.
He's from
Ohio. Right, exactly.
But,
true.
I believe that based upon what the Pistons' needs were, they needed to get more athletic guys on the wing and needed to be able to knock down jump shots. They also just signed Luigi, call me Gigi DeTomi,
right.
A 6'7 MVP of the Italian League.
Yeah.
That's heady stuff right there.
That
he
is.
Can really shoot. My first reports on him from the Piston practice facility, and I haven't been there yet, but I will soon, that he's already been over there putting on a little clinic with the way he can shoot from distance. So
mm-hmm.
I think they felt they needed guys at a position like that, and that maybe a smallish point guard. And I think he's going to be a heck of a player, Trey Burke, but I think – you know, he's gonna have that battle on his hands his whole career, being a little bit undersized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though the temptation, I'm sure, was there to make the masses feel good about everything that particular night, I think they did the right thing.
Gotcha. Now, of course, I can't let you go without talking about the excitement of having Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace back with the Pistons. That's so exciting. Back to the glory days, if you think back to 2004. What were your thoughts when you first heard about their return?
Oh, I'm pumped. Those are two of my favorite guys.
Yeah.
That team was a heck of a team. The Bad Boys were awesome, but you really don't want to take anything away from this group either.
Right.
They were guys who were, with the exception of probably Rasheed, had resumes that weren't like jumping out at people until they came to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chauncey found a home in Detroit.
Right.
And he accepted coaching from a great coach like Larry Brown and really made himself so much better that Rick Mahorn and I had to call him Mr. Big Shot because that's all he did was make big shots.
Okay, so you guys came up with that nickname, right?
Yes, we did.
Wow, and it stuck with him throughout his entire career, I tell you.
And there was an old R&B tune called Mr. Big Stuff.
Yeah.
That's what kind of inspired it.
Right.
But and, you know, Rasheed Wallace is so talented and such a great teammate. I think he'll be an excellent assistant coach. In fact, MSU coach Tom Izzo and I were talking about him and some of these guys yesterday. And, you know, I know that, you know, when you talk to Coach Izzo about basketball, you're talking to somebody who is as good as it gets. And I think he's excited for the Pistons, too. And by the way, the Spartans are going to be great on the hard court. And I think you're going to like what you see on the gridiron this fall, too.
I can't wait for it. I'm really foaming at the mouth for everything to start. Right now, I mean, they call this kind of the idle period in broadcasting because really, I mean, all you got right now is baseball, golf, tennis. I'm really ready for hoops and football to return, George. I cannot wait for it. Now, before I let you go, I want to bring up something that has become a hallmark of your career. You have countless amounts of really puns when you're broadcasting. I mean, count that baby in a foul. I mean, George, I mean, I could go on and on with that list. How did you come up with these things? Because they've really stuck when it comes to broadcasting culture.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. You know, they just kind of come out. And, you know, if I forget that I said them, I may never say them again.
Right,
but
right.
Sometimes they come out and people seem to like them, then I'll keep them.
Right.
And so I think to a degree the fans have had something to do with that.
Yeah.
I didn't sit around dreaming that up. It just came out one night, and everybody seemed to like it. So I've been rolling with it ever since.
Well, George, before I let you go right now, can you give us just one quick count that baby in a foul? Really, just one, and then we'll say bye.
Count that baby in a foul.
George, you are the man. There you go. George Blaha, broadcasting legend, play-by-play announcer for the Detroit Pistons and also the Michigan State football team. Hey, George, you take care. Thanks for being a part of Current Sports.
All right, happy to be with you. Go Green and go Pistons.
All right. Well, before we leave, a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, my great production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Cowboys rep Matthew Brown. He is the president of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. He was such an inspirational guy. Great to talk with him. And then you just heard from one of the greatest broadcasters of all time, especially when you talk about the Detroit area, George Blaha. You can hear him approaching his 38th season as the Pistons play-by-play announcer, of course, alongside Greg, Special K, Kelser. They are certainly two individuals that have been a part of my life for so long as a Pistons fan. Thank you out there for joining us again. Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Email me at AlMartinWKAR.org. Hit us up same time, same place tomorrow. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, be easy, people.